Morning. How many of you were here last week? You saw the gift that Jeff gave me. It was such a wonderful gift. Thank you, Jeff. I haven't worn it yet, but I do want to thank you for it. You know, one thing before I go any further, Jeff made mention that, you know, how old I was getting, that I turned 60. But yet in his message, he's talking about watching the hummingbirds. Isn't that like something that we do when we get really old and we can't do anything else? We watch the birds? So I don't know. He's preparing the way, I guess. But anyway, he made another statement in his message last week, and he said that what is mine is yours. And I agree with that. So I looked this week to find some things that were mine that I could share with Jeff. And so, Jeff, I've got a little present for you from 1999. It's a full set of Beanie Babies from McDonald's. And I want to give that to you because I didn't need it anymore, and what's mine is yours. So there you go. It's a good week for that. He said, I forgive you. So. Well, we'll get down to business now. Today is the fourth message in the series of our One Another series. Okay, so this is where we are. You know, we've talked about how important love is in every one of these messages. That love is the key for every one of the One Another messages. Whether it's about assembling together or praying for one another or serving one another, they all start with a love for one another. You see, we have to love one another in order to do these things. Today's message is on forgiveness. We are to forgive one another. I understand and realize as much as any of us in this room that forgiveness is not easy. Unlike a lot of messages that pertain to some but not to all, this message probably pertains to most of us. That at one time in our life, we have either struggled with forgiving someone, or maybe even today we are struggling with forgiving someone of something or someone that has hurt you. But forgiveness, like these other messages, comes out of the love of God. Comes out of our love for God and our love for others. So we need to understand this morning, even though it is hard, God is clear when it comes to forgiveness. So before we start, would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we just are grateful that we can study your word. And Lord, this morning I realize that this is a difficult subject for some and a more difficult subject for others. But for every one of us, it's something that we need to understand, accept, and practice in our life. So I pray right now, Lord, that you will open hearts and minds, including my own, and be with us as we take a look at what you tell us about forgiving one another. For it is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. God tells us to love one another. And he explains what loving one another in regards to this area of forgiveness, he explains that to us a little bit in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Where amongst other things, he says, it is not rude, this is love he's talking about, the perfect kind of love that Christ had for us. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, but here's the key point, it keeps no record of wrongs. You see, when we love someone, we don't have a journal of all the mistakes they've made. We don't keep track of all the mistakes that we make. And even if we know that someone has sinned against us or has hurt us in some way, as believers, we cannot continue to hold it against them. We must let it go. That's hard, isn't it? If we're honest this morning, that's difficult. I realize that this is easier said than done. Believe me. But through the power given to us by the Holy Spirit, we can win this battle. and forgive. We have people right here in our church that has won the battle. I can tell you about a family who has a business here locally. They hired someone, this person worked for them, and had another family member work for them. And one night after work, this person came back and broke into the store and robbed them. Well, there was a video, and they were able to identify this person, and later this person went to jail and had to serve a sentence for robbery. Well, you could be angry about that, and you could hold on to that for a long time. Somebody that you trusted, somebody that you hired, and they turned against you in that way. But not because of them, but because of God, this couple has forgiven this person. They're out of jail, and they've been bringing him to church. That's action. That's forgiveness in action. And that kind of goes along with this thought that once we forgive someone, which is hard enough, we must act as if the sin never occurred. That's even harder. And so I realized this morning that this is not an easy subject. But this is what God wants us to do. During our lives on earth, there is one thing that we all have in common when it comes to forgiveness. We all need it. Amen? And all of us need to be willing to forgive one another because none of us are perfect. We all do things that we wish we hadn't have done. I don't know about you, but I've done things I wish I wouldn't have done. I've said things that I wish I wouldn't have said. I've responded in ways that I was ashamed of the way I responded. I can tell you that for sure. So I know I'm guilty of it, and I imagine that there's people in this room that are guilty of that. In Romans 3:23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." You see, God forgives us. God has set the perfect example. A little further in the book of Romans 5:8, he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, he died for us. You see, this morning, I believe that before we can truly understand the teaching on forgiving one another, we must understand and believe and accept the teaching on God's forgiveness for our sins. Where would we be without God's forgiveness? So what does God tell us about forgiveness of our sins? What happens when we sin? Here's what God says in Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." God, he puts our sin aside. He forgives us, and he's not even thinking about it anymore. This is another way of demonstrating what he talked about in 1 Corinthians when he said, keeping no record of wrongs. You see, God doesn't keep the record of wrongs. He's forgiven us for our sins. We just need to be thankful that he has forgiven us. It's also written about in the Old Testament in Isaiah 43:25. It says, I am he who blots out our transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Feel the gravity of that? He doesn't remember our sins. This forgiveness that God grants us did not come without a price, though. The price was Christ dying on the cross for forgiveness. God desires to spend eternity with us, but that was not possible without this sacrifice. We could not spend eternity with him in this sinful nature, and something had to be sacrificed, and the something was Jesus, and he died for us. So hopefully now, if we understand that, we can now understand why God forgives us, and hopefully understand why we are told to forgive those who hurt us. And even though we understand what Jesus has done for us, which I hope most of us in this room do this morning, we still ask the why question, though. But why do I have to forgive those who sin against me or against us? The answer is pretty clear. Pretty simple. As far as an answer goes, just difficult to live out. You see, the answer is because God commands us to. He talks about this in Matthew 6, 12 through 15, where he says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men who they've sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So we have a really good reason there, if nothing else, to forgive others, because God forgave us. All of us. Every single one of us in this room this morning. There are other reasons that we need to forgive as well. Unforgiveness separates us from the proper relationship with God and from the one who has hurt us. Anytime that we are in conflict with the Word of God, we are not in a proper relationship with Him. I'm not talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's hard to be in that kind of perfect relationship with God if we are living our life with unforgiveness. And when we won't forgive, we are in conflict with God's teaching because He's commanded us to do it. And when we are in a place where we do not, or we feel we cannot forgive, then it affects our relationship with God and that other person, the offender. It often keeps us from having any kind of a relationship with that person at all. Sometimes this divide is with a spouse, or a parent, or a child, or a friend, and maybe an employee or an employer. But whoever it is with, it will be damaging if you continue it. To us and to them and to others around us, it will also damage our relationship with Christ. And that's hard to live with, because we can't be all that Christ wants us to be when we are in the middle of a damaged relationship with Him. Proverbs 17:9 tells us, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." How many times have you seen that happen? Someone hurts us, we can't forgive them, and even they, maybe they were one of our best friends, and they're no longer our friend. We walk on the other side of the street, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, because we don't want to see them. We avoid them at all costs. We're not willing to forgive yet, and it damages us. We are taught in the Bible to promote love. We're taught to make love a verb. You might say you've already forgiven them once, but they did it again, so I'm done. But what does the Bible tell us about that attitude? How many times do I have to forgive someone? Well, it's talked about in Matthew 18, 21 and 2. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. I don't know about you, but I'd have a hard time keeping track of 77 times. You'd have to carry around a book with you all the time, and every time you forgive him, you mark it down, and you finally get to 77, and you say, "See, I don't have to do it anymore. I'm done." First of all, we probably wouldn't be able to keep track, and we'd forget whether it's 75 or 76 or 69 or 70, whatever. But I think we're missing the point if that's what we're worried about. I would think that we would never be able to remember the number, and I think that's what Christ was talking about. Stop counting. Just forgive. Stop counting and just forgive, because it's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. But what about forgiving someone who has not asked for forgiveness? Have you ever said that? Well, yeah, I'd forgive them, but they need to come to me and they need to beg for forgiveness. They need to ask me for forgiveness. Well, I don't have to forgive them, do I? Unless they come to me? Or maybe it's someone who's just walked away and doesn't even realize they hurt you. How do I forgive them? I got to first of all let them know they hurt me so that they can feel bad. Because they may have hurt me and just walked away and didn't even realize it. You know, forgiveness, folks, is like so many things in our lives. It is a process. It's not an event. It is going to take work and time to forgive someone who has hurt you. But it is worth it. I know that forgiving someone is hard. This is something that this week in preparation, in the last 2 or 3 weeks in preparation of this message, I've had to really pray about. Because there was someone in my life that I truly had never totally forgiven for hurting me. And so I realized that if I was going to stand here in front of all of you and tell you that you need to forgive, then I better do the same thing. So I did. I wrote a letter, and I forgave that person. And where it will end up, I have no idea, and that's not really the point. The point is that I had to do it, and I truly have to do it in my heart, not just on a piece of paper. And that's what I have to just continue to pray, that God will help me in this process of forgiving. So I understand that it's not easy. You see, forgiveness is a decision of the will. Even if it's hard and even if it's painful, we must learn how to forgive. It is more than just acknowledging that we need to forgive, though. It requires action. We must do it. Nancy Lee DeMoss says this way, "Our faith is made alive and appealing only when our nouns turn into verbs. When loving others, praying for others, serving others, forgiving others turns into action. That is when our faith is made alive. It is pretty easy for us to say that we love someone or that we will pray for someone or even forgive someone, but it is not the words that count, but it's the action that follows the words. This is what people will remember. This is what people will take notice of. The world doesn't get it, but we should. The world has not understand this concept, this belief, this teaching. But we should, as Christ followers. I hope that we all understand the why that we need to forgive. I think we all probably are there this morning that we accept the fact that Christ died for us. We accept the fact that we needed his forgiveness. We accept the fact that if we don't forgive someone else, it damages our relationship. But it goes on from there. We need to understand now the how. How do I forgive someone who has really hurt me or let me down? I read a quote this week, and it's great. I don't know who wrote it, but it says, "Forgiveness always seems so easy when we need it, and so hard when we need to give it." Isn't that true? I mean, we want forgiveness. Look, why can't you forgive me? It's not hard. Forgive me. But boy, we ask somebody to forgive someone who's hurt them, and all of a sudden, it's a whole lot harder. And we need to understand that. Receiving forgiveness is much easier than extending it. So the question is, how do I forgive? How do I put the hurt aside and do what God has told me to do? Many times, we feel we don't have enough strength to go through this process. Again, Nancy DeMoss, in her book, Choosing Forgiveness, says, "When it comes to forgiveness, our Lord would not command us to do something that he would not be able to do for us." We need the power of God in our life to work through his process of forgiveness. Through his power, we can do all things. We can't do it alone. So let's take close look this morning before we close at how do we go about forgiving. I'm sure that there are many lists and charts, and if you went on the internet, in which, you know, everything's true, and if you went out there and looked, there's probably many things that you could go by to help you forgive someone. And you know what? If it works, then use it. But I've chosen one here that I want to review with us this morning a little bit, because I want us to have some application. Because I don't want you to leave here saying, yeah, I have to forgive, but I just don't know how to do it. I want to give you the tools to do it. The first one is acknowledge that you are as imperfect a person as the one who hurt you. Remember, all have sinned and fallen short. You too are in need of being forgiven by people you might have hurt in some way. Maybe people that you don't even know. You need forgiveness from a perfect God as well. Number two, try to understand that the other person. Ask yourself, what kind of suffering has occurred in his or her life? What kind of struggles has this person gone through that has possibly made him or her hurt you so badly? Try to take a look at the other person. Walk in their shoes and see. Maybe that'll help you understand. Number three is recognize that as long as you stay angry at this person, he or she will have power over you. This person might have long forgotten the injury inflicted on you while you're allowing anger to seep the life right out of you. You know, I don't know. We may forgive someone and they may say, for what? They don't even remember. Number four, ask God to help you in the process. Key point. Think of the forgiveness that he offers you through his son, Jesus. It was a totally free gift, which neither you nor I deserve. He asked us to pass this forgiveness on to our fellow human beings. Not an easy task. Yet he asked it of us, and he knows that if we do that, we will find incredible peace and freedom. Number five, forego any desire of revenge. Sorry, I had to put that in there. It is God's domain, and only he knows what this person actually deserves. Inflicting revenge will only make you feel better for a fleeting moment, and ultimately it will make you feel much worse. To be honest, I don't know about you, but in cases like that, there's been times where I've thought of many ways that I could get revenge. And giving beating babies is not one of them. I have no need to do that there. But it is easy for us to think that way because we're humans and we want to get back. We want to get even. You know, and what's the saying? Don't get mad, get even. Well, we practice that pretty well. Number six, in forgiving, you are not agreeing with what has happened. That's important to understand. You are not saying that what was done is okay. You are not saying that you were in agreement. You can still condemn the sin, but you are placing this person in God's hands. You are affirming that only God is equipped to rightly judge this person. And number seven, understand that forgiveness and reconciliation are separate concepts. We can forgive, but the reconciliation depends upon the other person. So we can't sit around and say, well, if they will come to us, if we go to them and then we can reconcile, I'll do it. No, we need to forgive whether they reconcile with us or not. We need to understand there's a difference there because that's important. The Lord requires us to forgive so that our hearts can be clean before him. But we can only trust again and reconcile as it might be appropriate. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What it tells us in Romans 12. For true reconciliation, both parties have to take responsibility and do their part. Otherwise, we would be in an unhealthy, unequal yoking. Sometimes it's best to forgive and just let go and let God work. Let God do it. And number eight, the Bible does not allow for personal payback. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. But promoting justice is a separate issue from personal forgiveness. We still have to forgive. And finally, number nine. Know that Jesus promises rewards to those who overcome feelings like wanting to be unforgiving. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? God sacrificed his only son that you could enjoy your life. Those are some practical steps that each one of us can take. And they're in your handout this morning. So I hope you take them with you and and read through those closer if you're struggling forgiving someone. This morning, we're going to close a little differently. I'm going to close with a video in just a few minutes. And then we're going to, after the video's over, the worship team is going to sing a special. I'm just going to ask you to remain seated. Just listen to the song. Look at the words that will be on the screen. And at the bottom of your notes, inside your bulletin, there's a place and a question that's going to ask you, who in your life do you need to forgive? I'm pretty sure that every one of us have somebody that we need to forgive. And I want you to prayerfully identify that person today. And then I want you to take that with you. And this week, pray about it, think about it, figure out what kind of action you need to take to make this happen. This video is an example of the kind of forgiveness that I've been talking about this morning. This is a story of a drunk driver who took the lives of two 20-year-old girls in the beginning of their adult life and also was forgiven by both families. The lady Renee, this is a true story, Renee Napier. This is the mother. She sent this story to Matthew West, the Christian artist, and she asked him to write a song about her story, and he did. And this song is a song that the worship team is going to do at the end of the service before we pray this morning, called Forgiveness. As you sit there, just contemplate about this song and the message in it, and figure it out who that person is in your life. So I encourage you right now to take a listen to this video and let it work in your heart as it did in mine.